going to move through our Bibles pretty good today, so get your fingers ready. And now that our Bibles are open, let us quickly just ask God to bless this time in His Word. Father, we thank You again for the time to gather together as a body, as a church. Lord, to encourage believers to engage their faith. Lord, this is our time to be strengthened. This is our time to get refocused upon You and upon Your Word. And so we pray that Your Spirit would move here, that You would do a mighty work. We are here to worship You, but we also are here to receive from You because You are such a giving and loving God. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled today's message, Do You Believe? And probably right off the bat, you think, oh, do I believe in Jesus? Well, it goes even beyond that. I certainly hope you do believe in Jesus, but I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in the power of God to change your life? Do you believe in the power of God to heal your life? And that's really what I want to talk about today. If we do truly believe that God has the power, the ability, the willingness to touch our lives in such a way that He takes difficult situations and makes them better. Physical situations, emotional situations, financial situations, whatever they are, my question to us, do we believe? Do we believe what the Bible tells us? Do we believe that He does have the power to change our circumstances? And if we do believe that, are we operating in that belief? Are we exercising that faith? Are we asking God to work in our circumstances? Or are we those Christians that are just going, yes, God could, but He might, I don't know if He will. And oh, I hope He does. See, that's a different attitude, isn't it? To just wait for God to change your circumstances, but are you believing and are you asking God to change your circumstances? Because we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I want to share with you, certainly from the book of Revelation, but there's one verse, one part of one verse that really ministered to me this week. Because this week I got two different people that I know, two friends of mine, got some pretty tough information. Pretty bad news, if you will. And it made me think about our faith in God, our trusting in God to change those circumstances, and not just hope He will, and not just maybe see if He will, but to really believe that He will, and to begin to walk in that belief. So I ask you this morning, do you believe that God could heal you from whatever it is that's going on in your life today? Yes. Are you doing anything about it? That's always the next question. It's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to put our faith into action. And that's what I'm hoping that we will do. I believe God wants to do that in our lives, and I want to hope and believe that you guys want that to happen in your life as well. Revelation chapter 22, read with me the first five verses. We continuing from what we talked about last time. If you remember, John was seeing the holy Jerusalem. An angel had given him a vision of holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And this next five verses are a continuation of that description. It's a pretty powerful description. Verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them the light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Now give me your attention. In these five verses, God's communicating to us something that is so very important. If you notice, the things that John is seeing that God is giving are coming from the throne of God. It's very important for us to understand in our lives that blessings come into our lives from God. Okay? They proceed from the throne. And here we see in this particular picture the throne of God and this river of life, this tree of life, and then the leaves on the tree that are giving healing to the nation. God is the source of life. You believe that? He is the source. He is the foundation of all life. Anything that exists, He created. And so here we see this river of life. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to see this picture? Wouldn't it be fascinating to be able to just witness what this looked like? But it's some type of river that has life, and there is a tree or trees alongside its banks that are filled with life. And it just has to be a great reminder for us that the source of our existence, the source of our being, is God himself. And certainly, that's something we should focus in on, that the existence and the person that you are is because God has created you to be that if you believe in him. And so he is that source of life. But in the end of verse 2 is what really hit me. It says, at the end of verse 2, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now that's pretty exciting, right? That's amazing. Healing. We certainly would all want healing. But why would healing be needed in heaven? There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more crying. Why would there be healing? I think it's a reminder for all of us that God not only sustains our life here today, he's going to sustain our life even through heaven. I believe that this river of life, this tree of life, and the leaves about it are what is going to maintain and sustain us through all eternity. Notice it says the trees produce their fruit every month. I mean, these are very fruitful trees. And if we are to be the people of God, we're to be fruitful in the things that we do. And to believe that these leaves from this tree bring healing into our lives. Do you need healing in your life today? There's something going on, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or whether you know someone who's going through something, is there something that's happening in your life that you're asking God, God, change these situations, change these circumstances, heal my marriage, heal my relationship with my kids, heal my relationship with my coworker, whatever it is, God, heal it. Do you believe that? Do you need that in your life? I want you to ask yourself, if you believe that God could do that in your own life. See, it's so much easier, isn't it, for us to believe that God will do that in your life and not our own. Do you believe that God can do it in someone else's life? I know people in my life that I've seen God heal. There's people in this room that have been healed by cancer by God, when the doctors are like, I don't know how to explain it. And we know how to explain it, don't we? God did it. God provided. And we must believe in our own hearts that God will. Listen, we all pray to God. We all ask God to do things. But are we really asking God to transform our situations? Or are we those Christians that are just going through the same old stuff every day because that's what we just expect life to be? I'm not saying we can tell God to heal us. I'm saying we got to believe that he can heal us. And if he chooses to make sure he gets the glory. God can heal us. And so I want us to look at several things here in our Bibles that show us the power of actual healing. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I came to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. Isn't that a great verse? Jesus came to give us life and he gave it to us to a life to be more abundant. Are we living the more abundant life? I believe if we ask, I believe if we come to God and plead with him and beg with him and say, God, change my situation, he will give us that abundant life. Our first stop, if you will, is over in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, again, I want to show you a couple stories of the power of healing that we can read in our Bibles and then apply to our own lives. It's in Acts chapter 14. We'll pick up in verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul. We're going to see a very powerful illustration here. Verse 8, Acts chapter 14, says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Wow. Here's something interesting that I see in this. Number one, if we're going to be healed, we have to have faith. We have to believe that God can do that. And we have to believe, not because we're a good person, not because we're coming to church regularly, not because we're faithful to God, but because God has the ability to heal. I think it's absolutely amazing that the Apostle Paul is in this town. He intently looks at this particular individual who has never walked a day in their life, and what does he see? He sees that this person has faith to be healed. What does that look like? Think about that for a minute. What does it look like in a person's life to see that they have faith to be healed? I can't imagine he was wearing a sign, "I believe God will heal me." But there was something about this man's character, there was something about this man's countenance that as he looked at him intently, I believe with all of my heart, as Paul looked at this man in this condition all of his life, he wasn't one of these downtrodden, "Oh, poor me." I believe he had such a countenance upon his being, upon his face, that he could tell that this man had faith in God. I believe it was it wasn't a man being content in the condition he was in. Because I think there are a lot of people that are just content in the place that they are at, not expecting God to change their situation. This man had the faith to believe that he would be healed, and Paul witnessed this. I believe this man had a smile on his face. I believe this man loved the Lord. Probably if Paul ever even talked to him, he would probably hear all about his love for God. But there was something that he saw. Guys, there is an opportunity for us to not only believe in God, but to carry ourselves in such a way to say God is so good no matter what he does or what he doesn't do. There's a countenance there. And so to believe that God is going to do this and to live your life in that belief. It's when that belief begins to wane that we have to be reminded that this is what God wants to do in our lives. Our countenance makes a very big difference. I'm going to use myself as a few examples because God has done some things in my life that I'm very, very thankful for. Back in the late 90s, I was diagnosed with cancer. And when I got that information, certainly like anybody else, be devastated, right? Oh man, I have cancer. What are we going to do with this? And of course, the doctors tell you, well, we got to operate, and then we got to do chemotherapy, and then we got to do radiation. So they operated, they removed the tumor. It was in fact cancer. And then they wanted me to do chemotherapy. So as I was recovering and my wife was doing serious research on the internet about cancers and all these types of things, it became very evident to us very early on, if there's no cancer or no evidence in my life, why should we do chemotherapy? And whenever you go against the doctor's orders, they don't like it too much. But here's the thing that really ministered to me during this time. I had an absolute amazing amount of peace during this time. You would think if you have cancer, you're going to be stressed out. You're like, what's going to happen? For some reason, I had amazing peace about what had been happening to me. I had visioned myself seated in the palm of God's hand, and whatever he allowed to happen in my life, he was in total control of it. So I had an amazing amount of peace. I was literally ministering to my friends because I had cancer. It seemed a little odd, didn't it? They would come up to me and they would start crying. I'm like, it'll be okay. I'm like, this is a little bit backwards, don't you think? But it's an amazing amount of confidence. Believe. It's not like I said, oh, okay, I'm going to believe that it's going to be good. God just gave me that peace. And in the season of our life, we have to be sensitive to God giving us that peace. My pastor actually took me to lunch, and he kept asking me how I was doing. I kept going, good. After the third time, I realized he thought I was stressed out. He thought I was freaking out because I said, Pastor, I said, I don't know what it is, but God has given me an amazing amount of peace. Paul saw something in this lame man. He saw his faith, and what does he do? He tells him, arise and walk. I believe with every ounce of my being that the situations that are going on in our lives, we need to speak to them directly and say, be gone in the name of Jesus, rise in the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus, be under the authority of God, because we can see him do that. So by faith, and we believe, and we have a good countenance. Our next stop, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I hope I can get through all these. In Mark chapter 6, right in the beginning, now we're going to see Jesus. And this is an amazing picture here. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Then he, being Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that much mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now look at verse 5. Now Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit teaching. Verse 5 absolutely floors me. Here's God in flesh, Jesus Christ, in his hometown, wanting to heal. And in verse 5, we see this very sad thing. He could do no mighty works there, except for a few people who were sick, he healed. I would imagine if we interviewed the people that were healed of their sickness, they would say that was a pretty mighty work. But you notice he could only do a few things because of hindrance of unbelief. This is the greatest thing that the enemy will use in our lives when it comes to the condition of where we are in our lives when we're seeking God for something, is the enemy will bring you to a place of, don't believe that. Don't believe God's going to heal you. You're not good enough. Did you see the way you treated your wife last week? God's not going to heal you. Did you see the way you talked to your kids? I mean, it's like the enemy just wants to rip our belief. And it's like here Jesus is willing and wanting to heal, but unbelief will hinder us. What is it in your life that unbelief is hindering you from a healing? What is it in your heart that you're making you think there's no way it's going to happen? It is belief that we must understand that God wants to heal us, can heal us, and may heal us. We can't tell him what to do. He's totally in control, but we have to believe that he will. Many of you know that 3.5 years ago, I was in the hospital. My heart stopped. And the doctor that was caring for me, my wife told me this after the fact, you know, the doctors didn't give very good news. You know, the outcome was going to be pretty bleak, which isn't very encouraging for my wife or anybody that was there. And so my wife went into the bathroom, this is what she told me, and she prayed to God, and God led her, most of you know, led her to Psalm 91. And God gave her an amazing amount of faith to believe that God was going to heal me. So much so that she went up to this same doctor, put her arms around him and said, I know you don't have faith that my husband's going to get better, but I have enough faith for both of us. And I believe that act was what God honored. He honors our faith to believe. I know for many who were in that situation, walked through that situation with me, believed that God was going to heal me. It's like God gives them that peace. And so it's that faith, it's that belief. So if you're here today and you're feeling like God won't because you don't believe, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. Certainly seek the Lord and make sure he gives you that peace. But you've got to stand on the faith that God has given to us. That is so very paramount. And then the second thing, not only faith and belief, the second thing is to be persistent, to never give up. Look over to verse in chapter 7 of the same book, verse 24. Mark 7, verse 24. Again, Jesus, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. Look at it right here. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Verse 28, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. When it talks about, she was begging. The word is begging. It's pleading with the Lord. It's being persistent. I even love the fact that Jesus said, listen, woman, now's not the time for this. And she's like, no. I'm going to be persistent. We must be persistent. We have the faith in God. We stand on God. He can do what he wants when he wants, but we cannot give up. Again, you can't bug God, right? God doesn't go, you again? He said, you're going to talk to me again? I mean, you've talked to me 5 times today. Again, I'm here. God didn't do that. God loves to hear from us. And so for us to be persistent and to get on our knees and to beg God, please, Lord, do a work. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, If you're praying against God's will, hopefully in your prayer you're being sensitive to the Spirit's guiding. And if you feel like you're constantly hitting a wall, then you know that's not God's will. I always forget, it was either David or Solomon whose daughter was sick. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and prayed. And then his daughter ended up dying. And then he cleans his face and his servants serve him. And they're like, wait a minute, you prayed and you prayed and you prayed when she was alive. Why are you okay now? He's like, God's will was done. I can't change it. And it's like sometimes we have to submit under to God's will, certainly. I wish I could say, listen, if you pray five times a day for a week and a half, you'll get what you want. But that's not the way it works. This is not a formula. This is just the elements of our faith saying, God, I believe you can. I want you to do this, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you until your answer comes. And that's just being persistent, being consistent in the things that we do. Another thing I like about this, notice the mother comes to Jesus, but the daughter isn't there. I think this is a very significant point. Jesus can heal from afar. You don't have to come and be laid hand. You know, I've prayed for people. I've prayed for someone else over their spouse or over their parent, because I believe there's such an amazing connection there that when you pray over someone, it's like you're praying over them. And I think that's what Jesus is doing here. Listen, your faith, mother, has made your daughter well. And to believe that God can heal from afar. Now, you know we've all been praying for little Judson Donegan. And I got to tell you, guys, I'm a guy, but I cry a lot. And so I apologize. But put this picture up. This is little Judson. Every time I see this picture, I start to cry. Because we've been praying for this little guy for how long now? 4 weeks? Has it been longer?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. He was born at 2 pounds. He's up to 3 pounds, 1 ounce. He's a fat boy now. 3 pounds. This picture doesn't do it justice how little this baby is. But when I look at this picture, and I think about all the people that are praying for this boy, we're not all going to the hospital. We're not all laying hands on him. We're praying that God would do a work in this little guy's life. And as I look at this precious little face and the lips, and it's actually a picture that moves, and his little eyebrows are, his eyebrows are moving up and down. It's so precious. And I just see God in it. And it so moved me this week to think, guys, God wants us to be praying by faith. He wants us to believe that he can. He wants us to be persistent. We don't stop praying. We keep praying. And we don't give up. And we see God's hand in our lives. So I want to increase your faith today. And I don't want one person in this place to think, yeah, I don't qualify for this. If you're here, if you're breathing, if you have a pulse, you qualify for the healing hand of God upon your life. And like I said, I know several people in our fellowship that we're praying specifically. Certainly Judson, some other gentlemen that are struggling with physical things. And we are believing that God's going to do it. And that's what I want us to do today. For homework, because I didn't get to it, in Acts chapter 9, I'm just going to briefly talk about it. In Acts chapter 9, Peter comes to the house of a daughter who died. And basically, Peter takes all the family, says, get out. All of you need to go away. And what Peter does, he kneels down next to this girl named Tabitha, and he prays. And then he looks at her and he says, Tabitha, arise. And the girl comes back to life. We have to believe. We have to be persistent. But we must pray. My spirit tells me that when Peter kneeled down, it wasn't one of those prayers like, God, you're going to do this. I think it was, God, are you going to do this? I think that time that Peter spent on his knees in prayer was him seeking God's will for this daughter, for this young girl. But somehow in that prayer, as Peter was asking God, are you going to do this? I know you can do this. I think God gave him the boldness to look. I mean, can you imagine looking at a dead person and saying, Bill, arise. We go to a morgue and start doing that, and people start arising. Guess what? That's faith. That's amazing to believe. But again, we're going to pray. And Jesus lays hands on people, and people were healed. And Paul and Peter and the apostles laid hands on people. Jesus sent them out two by two, and they healed. Please let me do this. You got to see this. Go to the end of the Gospel of Mark, Mark 16. Because I know for some of us in this room, we're thinking, well, of course Jesus can do it. And of course Peter and Paul can do it. I mean, they're apostles. Does it still exist today? Look what it says at the end of Mark's Gospel in verse 15 of chapter 16. I love this area of Scripture. This is the Great Commission recorded by the Apostle Mark, or by Mark. In verse 15, he says, "And he said to them," this is Jesus, "go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Amen. That is a powerful statement that Jesus is saying, those who are followers of mine, these are the signs that will follow them. Does anybody in this room ever read the book of Acts and go, why don't we see that happening anymore today? The book of Acts is an amazing record of all the powerful miracles that were done through the apostles and through the disciples. I am one pastor that stands here and says, I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit still exist today like they did anywhere else. I do believe we don't see them in the United States because we're a prideful country. I believe we would humble ourselves and pray over people and see people getting healed and give God the glory and not ourselves instead of a ministry. I mean, can you imagine if we started seeing people getting their lives healed in this church and all of a sudden, Calvary Chapel, the healing church, let's get the news out there. No. Jesus heals, not Calvary Chapel. And so I'm going to ask each and every one of you today, just like in a sense Peter did to Tabitha, to have you arise out of your seat, come forward and be prayed over from a prayer counselor that's going to be up here, and believe in your heart that God wants to do a work in your life. I don't care if it's, hey, my thoughts, my mind, it drifts a lot, and I just can't get focused. We'll pray over that. We'll pray over someone you know. If it's a family member, a friend, a stranger that you ran into who needs healing, let's pray for them. Let's believe that God can do it. So I'm going to invite a few prayer counselors up forward. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. But I want us all to just be prepared to come forward to receive healing. What does God want to heal in your life today? He can do it. You just must believe. Let me pray right now. Father God, we thank you that your word tells us that you have the ability to heal, even healing death, that Jesus, you came to give us life and that life more abundant. And I would pray for every single person seated in these seats this morning, that whatever it is that's burdening them, whatever it is that's weighing them down, that they would come forward, confess it, that we might pray for them, that we might see you heal them. We know you can, God. We ask that you will. I pray for those who are up here to pray over people, that you would anoint us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that our words would not be our words, that our prayers would be your prayers, and that the work would be yours, and that you would receive the glory. So bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.